I'm here with Councilman Mark Elrich
of Montgomery County, Maryland, at large representative. Councilman, why are you at the rally for Fight for 15?
I'm a strong believer in raising the minimum wage and raising it to a level that allows a person to support themselves, put a roof over their head, feed their kids, meet their basic needs.
Do you think it will have benefits beyond the individuals for the entire county if the county raises the wage to $15 an hour?
You know, I used to be a school teacher, and I saw what happens when kids come to school hungry. So it's more than just an economic issue of raising a wage. It actually has long-term impacts on family stability. Families that are in poverty are under a great deal of stress. Children who are in families that suffer from poverty suffer from that stress. So I really believe that it's not just a wage issue. It's an issue of, you know, how to make lives for our children better.
Do you have concerns that some small businesses may have trouble making ends meet if they have to raise the wages of their lowest paid workers?
I think we're giving them a significant amount of time to get there. And it may be that, you know, the will of the council is to allow really small businesses to have a little bit more time.
What about tipped workers?
So we've gone back and forth about this, and I can't say I know where everybody else's mind is, but, you know, the law requires an employer to pay a tipped worker the difference between their tips and the minimum wage. So if the wage goes up to 15, an employer is obligated to pay an employee the difference between what they make and a $15 wage. So there's no reason that an employee, even in a restaurant, should make less than $15 an hour. But we're looking at the mechanism through which it's done. One of the problems is it requires the employee to file a complaint. And we're looking at a way to automate it so that it wouldn't be triggered by an employee complaint. It would be triggered by an audit of the payroll sheets, which are submitted by employers, so that they would simply be notified that you didn't pay a person the proper wage and they'd be told they have to issue a supplement.
Councilman Elrich, we live in Montgomery County. Both of us is a very democratic, even progressive county. Obviously, the last presidential election did not go the way most residents of this county had hoped.
Yep.
Do you believe this is going to inspire perhaps more activism like we're seeing tonight? And that could be a silver lining in what most of us see as a pretty dark cloud.
I hope it does. I mean, I think one thing that's going to be clear that if there are any changes going to be made, the changes are going to be made at the local level. You're certainly not going to look for the federal government to lead the way. So I anticipate that, you know, at every opportunity, we'll evaluate whether there's a change worth making and whether we can make it here.
Just a couple more questions, if that's all right. Healthcare is a big concern for many Montgomery County residents. Even middle class residents may be hit with healthcare bills that are onerous. Is the council addressing or looking into how to make healthcare more affordable?
Not really. I mean, we operate clinics for people who need access to clinics. And we serve an awful lot of people through our clinic system. But we're not in the insurance business. And, you know, I am one of those who think that we should have gone single payer and that the healthcare system that was put in place on increased coverage has lots and lots of problems.
Follow up to that then, is that something that could be done on a county basis? Vermont, many people pointed out, who don't like single payer, passed a law and it turns out that hasn't worked out as well as they'd hoped. Could it be done on a county?
I don't know. I mean, I've asked that question. It's not at all clear to me that it can be done at the county level. I mean, if it could, I'd say why not, but somebody's going to have to demonstrate because that's an enormous amount of money and an awful lot of risk.
All right, and final question, Council Member Elrich. Obviously, you're here. You support the Fight for 15. Do you have enough colleagues on the council to get this bill passed?
So we're starting with four co-sponsors. So we start with five votes. The question is, do I need a veto-proof majority? I mean, this bill, it has to sustain a veto. If it's not modified in the way that the executive will support it, then you need six votes. And it's not clear to me that you're going to get six votes without making some adjustments to the bill.
Well, then let me follow that one up. Is it your understanding that the executive has, he's been equivocal, has he not?
Well, he's been clear that he supports in principle going to 15. He's got questions about, he's put it in his memo, he has questions about an off-ramp if you go into a recession where you have to pause it. And he's got questions on the impact on small businesses and whether you should take longer for small businesses, and he suggested stretching the time out than for most businesses. And those are big issues to him. And he raised them as serious concerns. And when somebody talks about, I have serious concerns and I don't think I can support it the way it is, I take that as I might not sign the bill.
Should the organizing are these deal breakers for you? Is this something you compromise
no,
on?
No, I'd be an idiot. To you know, if I could get 15 for most people by 2020 and I had to, you know, extend it for small businesses for another couple of years, and I said, no, I'd rather have no bill of 15, somebody should take me out and retire me. That'd be silly.
Do you think those are compromises that will also get it out of committee with Rice and Berliner convince them?
I don't know. And that's, you know, I understand that at least one of them is interested in some kind of compromise. And so we've got to see what it is. I mean, I'm not going to weaken the bill and put so many exceptions in it that doesn't cover anybody. But if people are asking for things that aren't totally unreasonable, and if you look around the country, frankly, most of the bills have some of these changes. They either exempt categories, they delay it for certain classifications based on the size of the business. California's got the offering. So that's what it's taken in most places to get legislation through. I don't know why we'd necessarily expect it to be different here.
And excuse my ignorance on this. You guys typically pass things out of committee pretty easily, at least these big bills. But is there a way you can get this out of committee without a 2-to-1 vote?
Sure. I mean, because we have 5 co-sponsors, we can just have it brought up to the floor. We can just tell the president you have to bring this to the floor. But it's, you know, I would rather not do things that way. I mean, we're all Democrats. We all should be able to get to the place where there's enough in this bill that they can support it. So I'm hopeful that everyone has to do any of that stuff.
I mean, the county executive is the main impediment to the bill. Should the organizing effort be at the county executive's office building?
Maybe, but, you know, an impediment, you know, we're stopped at 5 right now. You know, so we don't have 6. So we really could use more support than 5 people from the council. It would be good if we got up to 6 or 7 at least. So I'm interested in how do we do that? Because if you get there, then you sustain a veto. And I'd rather go into this knowing I can sustain a veto rather than forcing people to go through a dance where he vetoes it and then I got to figure out a way to modify it after the veto. I mean, if that's where we're going to go, that's where we're going to go.